Hi, everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Glad to have you with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Welcome to our audience on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Glad to have you along. This hour, we are going to have a new author who is a veteran. His name is Horace Crenshaw Jr. He is a veteran and he served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And he's got quite a story about overcoming adversity. And he's also a motivational speaker. We'll tell you about his new book coming up, all about Horace in just a few minutes. Steve Wiseman of Scamicide will be along to tell us what the bad guys are up to now. They are targeting, isn't this awful, some of the people who were furloughed, people who were affected by the government shutdown. So we'll have that and the other scams of the day. You probably want to check his website, Scamicide.com, at least once a week to make sure you are up to date on how to protect yourself. Barry Nussbaum, our friend of the show with the American Truth Project. He'll be along to talk about the political headlines of the day, including the new caravan heading our way, where is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and some of the Democratic prospects for president in 2020. To the trending news in Houston, five police officers there are recovering after a shootout from Monday night. They were trying to serve a search warrant on a suspected drug house in the Gloverdale neighborhood, if you're familiar with Houston. The perps weren't having it. They began firing as soon as the officers entered the house. The two perps were killed when gunfire was exchanged. Four of those officers are in critical condition. And the president of the police union there in Houston says they are tired of the dirt bags. Listen.
But now I want to speak on behalf of the 5,200 brave men and women of the Houston Police Department and the other 800,000 police officers that are working these streets every single day, putting their lives on the line. We are sick and tired of having targets on our back. We are sick and tired of having dirt bags trying to take our lives when all we're trying to do is protect this community and protect our families. Enough is enough. And if you're the ones that are out there spreading the rhetoric that police officers are the enemy, well, just know we've all got your number now. We're going to be keeping track of all of y'all, and we're going to make sure that we hold you accountable every time you stir the pot on our police officers. We've had enough, folks. We're out there doing our jobs every day, putting our lives on the line for our families. Enough is enough. Now, please, keep these officers in your prayers.
Five police officers hurt during that shootout. None was killed, so we are so thankful for that. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has now re-extended the invitation for President Trump to come deliver the State of the Union address. She had reneged on her original invitation, citing the government shutdown. The annual speech would have been happening this week. Trump wrote back, "It is his great honor to accept." Also writing, "We have a great story to tell and yet great goals to achieve." By the way, Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor of Georgia, will deliver the Democratic response to the State of the Union. There's a crazy new snafu to tell you about regarding FaceTime. Do you use that feature? It's the FaceTime app. There's a flaw that allows people calling you via FaceTime to see and hear you even if you have not picked up the call. Apple says it has now disabled group FaceTime, the feature they say was causing the glitch. The Twitterverse chimed in, basically saying, yeah, the glitch in the FaceTime app. So again, FaceTime app letting users hear the other person before they pick up. So watch out for that. And the Twitterverse, they're all abuzz saying, are you kidding me? Well, they say the weather will be the coldest in a generation all over the Midwest and perhaps beyond. Look at the reports, about 220 million people, or 75% of the U.S. population, will have below freezing temps this week. As cold as Mount Everest, Siberia, and the South Pole. The biting cold has already caused one death in Minnesota and at least one in Illinois. It's just what we know about so far. In other parts of the country, the coldest weather is yet to come. And there's what a polar vortex is. We haven't had one for about 5 years. And that's what's bearing down, causing all the havoc. And there is one forecast. Bread and milk advisory, liquor store warning. Temps in some places expect to drop well below zero in the Midwest, perhaps as cold as feels like negative 60. Back after this.
We have to build a wall, folks. We have to build a wall. And a wall works. All you have to do is go to Israel, say, how's your wall working? Walls work.
2016, there were 11 illegal immigrants who entered Israel. And then they raised the height of the wall an additional several feet. And in 2017, there was not one illegal immigrant that made it through the southern border into Israel.
His politicians say fences don't work until they need one. Europe has four times more barriers today than they did in the Cold War. And anyone who lives on our southern border, along with the agents who patrol it, will tell you that walls work.
In the country of Morocco, they built one 1,700 miles long. And you know what it did? The last line right there. It resulted in a ceasefire ending a war.
It is true. The 110-acre sovereign state is surrounded by a 39-foot-tall wall, originally built by Pope Leo IV in the 9th century to keep out Saracen Muslim raiders.
Imagine walls working. Hey, you're with America Trends. Glad to have you here with us for the hour. We are talking to Barry Nussbaum here in a minute, but regarding the walls, you know, we have another caravan on its way to the southern border, reportedly 8,000 to 12,000 people strong making their way here. So we'll see when they get here. There's no real estimate yet. We have all kinds of reports of this is 267 people who apparently, they say they burrowed under the wall in the Texas area after midnight, January 16th. The majority of those taken into custody, Central American parents with children and unaccompanied minors, according to Border Patrol. They did not try to evade Border Patrol, but there they are. And then also, we saw some video of if you look online, people throwing a three-year-old child over a fence in one part of the border. So we need these walls. We need them to be fortified. Look at this for our TV viewers. And there she went, a 16-foot drop. So very frightening. And we're here with Barry Nussbaum, as I mentioned, of the American Truth Project. And he's done some research into all this and talks about this on his radio, his television program. Barry, welcome back to America Trends.
Thanks, Glick. Great to be with you.
Look at you. You're already in demand right there. Hey, so listen, some of the video we watched of President Trump declaring we need a wall, here's why they work, you almost feel like this is so obvious to the Democrats. They're just playing us when they say they're immoral, they don't work. Right?
Yeah, they all say that, and then you go to their house, and there's a wall around their house.
There, you nailed it.
And there's a wall around their estate. There's video out now on YouTube, Amy, where independent journalists are traveling around the country, and they're literally videotaping everybody's wall who says in the press, it's immoral, it's racist, it's xenophobic, it's anti-American, it's anti-democracy, and on and on and on. And yet they live behind a wall, starting with Nancy Pelosi has a wall around her multi-million-dollar estate in Napa and her beautiful estate in San Francisco. And Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have them, and Barack Obama has one, and John Kerry has one, and on and on and on. And what's really disingenuous is the Hollywood celebrities, Amy, all of whom have come out and said walls and guns are horrible things, and it's not the nature of our country, and we're inclusive, and everybody should come in. And they all live behind walls, many of whom have armed guards with them and outside their properties to protect them from the riffraff that they want coming in over the border unimpeded. But then again, not to their personal residences, God forbid.
Right. Boy, go figure. And, you know, you just have to wonder, is their constituency buying any of this?
I wonder about that because the mass general media that President Trump calls the fake media says absolutely not, everybody wants open borders. But when you interview the people that have any connection to the border, like the Border Patrol, all Border Patrol management, going back two decades, and that's Republican and Democratic appointees, all the ICE agents, all the immigration officials, all the people that patrol along the border for the various sheriffs and police agencies, the patrols and so on, they all say the same thing, which is all of the residents in the border communities want security. Look, being from San Diego, as we both are originally, it's obvious that everybody in San Diego was begging for it because thousands used to pour over the border every night in San Ysidro as soon as the sun went down. Immigration there is now, illegal immigration I'm referring to, is now at zero. And the people on the American side are ecstatic. They were afraid to go out at night. They had their kids locked up at night because, look, they're not all bad people, but all it takes is one. And if that's the one that kills your daughter, that's one too many. Everyone that's asked that lives in those communities, Amy, is fervently, enthusiastically begging for security. The wall in many places is simply, get this, a mark on the ground. That's the barrier, a mark on the ground.
That's right. Google some of the ranchers in Texas who have to deal daily with seeing if they're going to be assaulted and confronted and beg for food by people who are on their property who are completely desperate. So see, this is a humanitarian crisis on both sides of the border. When you get people jumping over the border and they have not, you don't know how long they've had food, haven't had shelter, what dire straits they're in, illness. It's a humanitarian crisis. And by the way, you mentioned San Diego. Just want to say, for people who don't really live along the border and think everyone has a cold heart because they don't want hundreds of illegal aliens coming in every day, they are already coming in because we're allowing some of them. Just today, the county board in San Diego, the supervisors voted to allow a migrant shelter downtown in an old courthouse. And we have news that there are buses dropping off 100 illegals a day just in San Diego, 100 migrants a day. At various places, at bus stops and things like this. People don't, they're not really knowing the whole story here, Barry.
It's not only that, but I have this personal preference. If I was the one making the rules, I would say, look, I have the same heart everyone else does. I want to take care of as many people as possible. Here's my caveat. I want to take care of as many people as possible here, our veterans, are homeless, are mentally ill, people living on the street that don't know where their next meal is coming from, people that have come back from a war that we asked them to go fight and they live on the street. When they're all taken care of, Amy, I'll consider more people from the outside.
You're 100% right. San Diego has one of the worst homeless problems there is. So we have illegals who are going to come here and step over our homeless to go into that courthouse to have their shelter. It could be an abomination in the works. Barry, we're back after this with more. Talk about the State of the Union.
A wall is an immorality. It's not who we are as a nation.
The biggest source of inequality worldwide is borders.
The first layer is a 20-foot metal fence, followed by a second fence with a flexible top, which makes it harder to climb. Below the second fence, you have barbed wire netting strung in dense webs. Then comes another taller fence with a flexible top section and more barbed wire. Then you're on the Moroccan side, where you have a 6.5-foot ditch, and then a double fence with, you guessed it, more barbed wire.
The race is on to get Hungary's border fence ready by the end of the month. It's being built by prison inmates at this steelworks at Dunaújváros in central Hungary.
The nature and the number of illegal migrants entering the European Union is unwanted by all European countries. Nobody's prepared for the integration, for the incorporation of a million people.
Meanwhile, let's go to the country of Cyprus. The UN built a wall there, and you know what it did? It successfully ended the fighting between the Turkish and the Greek combatants.
So the technology is there, and the proof is there that walls do work, so really no one's buying it. We're welcoming you back to America Trends here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio, and welcoming the American Truth Project's Barry Nussbaum, our friend of the show, talking about border security and all that good stuff, other political headlines of the day. Talk about State of the Union in a moment, and also where is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, where, oh, where? And how is she? But Barry, just that the video we saw and heard just now is just so telling. It's so evident.
When you see the technology that's available, that's been implemented by virtually every country with an unchecked immigration problem, Amy, the question for involved caring, patriotic Americans is how the heck could anybody be against it and justify it with a straight face? The purpose of a wall aligns with the sovereignty of a nation, and the sovereignty of a nation is based on protectable, definable, defensible borders. The first job of the country, the national government, is to protect its borders. By virtually giving up that control or eliminating that control and opening them up, you're abrogating your right to be a leader in this country. When you swear allegiance to the Constitution, you are promising to protect and defend the Union. These people, like Nancy on down, who say it's immoral, are liars. What they really are saying is, we want more people in that are illegal that we can shepherd to become good registered voting Democrats to support our reign of whatever you want to call it and perpetuate it. That's the truth. And anybody that tells you otherwise is a liar. These are the people that have walls around their own houses, but they don't want a wall around their country. So illegals can go to your house, but not to Nancy's house.
Well, the answer is evident. There's a cartoon that shows people like Pelosi and Jerry Brown leading people over the border straight into the voting booth. So when you say they are liars, they really do need to explain the endless file footage of all of them talking just not so long ago, just a few years, which is just a short time in how long they've been in office and term limits, whole other segment. But talking about how we need the walls and we can't have any more illegal immigrants. So it's just laughable for them to do it now. They're mad because President Trump wants it. And they've been having this hissy fit for a few years now because of him. So but like I said, you wonder if the base will buy it. You have people like Kamala Harris, who officially, I guess, threw her hat into the ring Sunday and Monday night already CNN threw her this adorable town hall, just a love fest just for her. And she, I guess in the past, she's compared ICE, our immigration enforcement, to the KKK. So that's special, right?
When you have these analogies that are so wrong factually, the KKK is one of the most hateful American groups in the history of this country. The ICE agents are patriotic law enforcement officers, get this, enforcing the laws that the Congress of the United States passed. ICE doesn't make up any rules or regulations. They enforce the laws of the land. To say these people are vicious, racist killers shows you how unqualified Kamala Harris is to be president of the United States.
Yeah, people are saying over and over again, her optics are good. She looks confident. But just a lot of empty things. And, you know, she wants to get rid of private insurance altogether. But that's just, like I said, a whole other segment. Going back to Pelosi, she has now extended that invitation for President Trump to do the State of the Union. It would have been taking place this week, but she disinvited him, citing the government shutdown, which as of Monday was over. So now she extended this invitation for him to do it February 5th, and he's graciously accepted. So this should all be interesting.
If I was his policy writer, hint, hint, here's what I would recommend President do on February 5th.
Looking for another gig, Barry?
That was in jest. But here's my free advice, President Trump, if you're listening today. I would go before Congress, make the usual platitudes about how great our country is and how we can get together with a joint session of Congress, even though we disagree most of the time. And then I would say, so here's the deal. I would list, if I was President Trump, let's say 20 projects that nobody has ever heard of that all cost in the billions, like soybean support, not to grow soybeans, or bridges to nowhere, or aid to Central American countries, or things like studying bird migration in the Antarctic, and add up the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions that nobody knows even gets spent because they're rounding errors on a weekend of our American budget, and say, and I'm asking for $5 billion to make you safe. How dare any member of Congress that stands up and says no to that because it's too much money But they voted for a bird migration study or studying turtles in the Galapagos Islands or whatever. I think he can embarrass them into it and then say, but if you don't give me the money, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to declare a national emergency. And to get the funding started, I'm going to pull money from the Pentagon, which I can do under certain discretionary rules, and Homeland Security, which I can do the same way. And this wall's getting built with or without you.
Yeah, and by the way, why do we talk about the wall every day? That was part of what the shutdown was about. This is important. It's what Trump is trying to, he's trying to keep us safe. And he wants it. They wanted it, too, until Trump wanted it. So it's just a whole thing. So anyway, State of the Union coming up February 5th for now. That's what we know. Barry, you got about a minute, but wanted to ask you this whole thing about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. First, she wasn't she's never been absent from the bench for 25 years. Then it was a Monday and a Tuesday. And then they finally said, OK, all next week she's taking off. We've had no updates as to her health. And we know that the Democrats are scared. It's the most frightening thing, bone chilling thing for them that Trump would have another nominee if she were to step down because of illness.
If she passes or becomes incapacitated and unable to fulfill her duties, Trump will get the next pick. There's nothing the Democrats can do about it other than make a tantrum like they did for Gorsuch and obviously in the last nomination of a couple of weeks ago for Kavanaugh. He will get another pick. There's nothing they can do. The pick will be confirmed. And that pick will be there for generations. The court will be changed permanently.
And the conspiracy theories will continue until we get another update. It's been days. Barry Nussbaum of the American Truth Project, check him out there. Thank you for being on America Trends. I know you ain't afraid about this. Hey, it's not as bad as you think out there. It's even worse. So says our friend from Scamicide, Steve Wiseman, who's going to be up in just a few moments. This is a place, like I said, you need to check this out at least a couple times a week if you really want to stay safe on the internet, phone calls, beyond. There's a new Medicare scam. There's a new judgment against a debt relief scammer, so glad to get some of them off the streets, perhaps. And one targeting people who were furloughed by the government. So Steve will be here. He's a lawyer. He teaches this stuff. He dabbles in it every single day, so he always has the very latest for us, and we're so blessed to have him. Right now, though, we are blessed to introduce you to a new author named Horace Crenshaw, Jr. This guy is a veteran, served in Operation Iraqi Freedom, and is a motivational speaker. He's got this story of being a commander that was put in charge of an Army Reserve Petroleum Unit during the initial months of Operation Iraqi Freedom, cobbled together at the last minute from six states, never trained together, and they overcame a lot. Blowing Sandstorm is the name of the book, is coming out in just weeks. And Horace, we welcome you to America Trends. How are you?
Doing great, Amy. Thanks tremendously for having me on the show.
Well, we're so glad to have you and to hear some of the messages you're spreading. So tell me a little bit about your book and how you decided, you know, this is so extraordinary, I have to tell this story.
Well, originally, I started writing the book actually when I was deployed to Iraq in 2003. My unit was under such enormous pressure to move petroleum through Kuwait and through Kuwait and Iraq. So we were going through a lot of turmoil. As you mentioned, as you alluded to earlier, we were a unit that was virtually cobbled together, six to seven state regions. And never trained together. The only training that we had was 3 months of training at Fort Drum, New York, the frozen tundra of America.
My goodness.
from January to March of 2003. And then we found ourselves immediately thrust into the onset of Operation Iraqi Freedom, where I think, when we arrived in April, we were told that, you're not needed. You can actually get back on the planes and go home. But that's not exactly what ended up happening to us. So
wait, are you saying you were there to just do some operational things and all of a sudden this Operation Iraqi Freedom was announced, and there you were in the midst of it.
Yes, we were once we arrived in country, actually at the port, the Shuaibah port in Kuwait. My equipment was missing, and so we had to make some adjustments. And then the group commander for the 49th Petroleum Group at the time in Kuwait said, "Well, we got plenty of missions for you. Of course, without limited equipment, what could I do?" But we were very industrious. I had a great group of soldiers that banded together. We were able to accomplish so much with so little for so long that we felt like we can do anything with absolutely nothing. And that's one of my mottos, one of the slogans I would instill on a daily basis to the soldiers, to the 168 soldiers that I had under my command, that we're going to accomplish this mission. And so we were able to, receive, store, and distribute over 100 million gallons of fuel throughout Kuwait and Iraq under intense pressure and under daily attacks and threats. So, and I'm fortunate and blessed to not even lose not one soldier throughout all of that entire ordeal. So,
that, Horace, that is so amazing. And, people have no idea the intricacies of what goes on over there, the different jobs, the different things that need to get done, the task. I would just want to mention that you are retired United States Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel, 23 years of experience, and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, as we said, serving three tours and still at work for the DOD, right?
Yes, I am. Currently, I work, I switched branches, if you will. Now I work for the U.S. Air Force, supporting the Joint Strike Fighter program in foreign military sales.
So you have this, you're a deacon, too, and you have this, your inspiration, your foundation comes from God. And I'm sure that helped get you through so very much. And I just, again, I think it's just miraculous. You lost no men or women over there.
Yeah, it actually was, and I had a chaplain that would tell me, said that he actually gave me one of his inspirational books and said that this is for an amazing commander that's about to take his soldiers into harm's way. This was given to me prior to my unit's deployment to Iraq. It actually was given to me while we were training at Fort Drum. So because it took a lot of intense prayer and faith to actually lead a group of soldiers, and if you will. And plus, besides that, I was a fairly new to the unit myself. I had just taken command 3 or 4 months prior to our unit's alert and ultimate mobilization into at Fort Drum. So it was actually a tremendous accomplishment. So the book lay dormant, if you will, for quite some time. Then I said, I need to resurrect this and actually tell a story. And so in 2014, I decided I was going to finish the book. In 2015, the book was published originally through Tate Publishing. That publishing company since went out of business, and so it was republished in June of last year by Yorkshire Publishing. So we're excited about it, and we're hoping that it will be an inspiration to those that need inspiration and an extra boost in life.
So is Blowing Sandstorm, again by you, Horace Crenshaw Jr., for people who want to look it up, is this already available on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
All right.
It is. It is available for purchase, and like I said, we're excited about it. We're excited about the opportunity to inspire and motivate people that could possibly be going through life challenges. Your life challenge could possibly not be having to find yourself in the middle of a war zone and having to make quick decisions and having to support, you know, this massive weaponry around you of U.S. and coalition forces. But, you know, yours could be, you know, various situations or circumstances we find ourselves in life. But for the most part, I wrote the book to be able to inspire, to uplift, and to motivate people, not necessarily for the military community, but, you know, for my fellow man in general.
That's pretty special, and I know you, that you've served as a mentor, so you're giving back among all the things you're already doing. And congrats, you're going to be a featured speaker, during the 2019 close-up program session in D.C. And I've just got a couple seconds, but you have a second book you finished. When's that going to be available?
Yes, I finished a book that I wrote as a child. It's called Half the Prize-winning racehorse. It should be out later on this year, probably in the fall.
Hey, Horace, out of time, but come back and let us know how it's going, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
You watch me bleed until I can't breathe. Shaking body onto my knees.
Welcome back to America Trends. Do you use a computer, an iPad, telephone? If so, do we call them telephones anymore or just smartphones? So much new stuff to keep track of. Our friend of the show, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, is a purveyor of something called Scamicide.com, which I hope you've heard of, because if you use any of those devices, you need to be going to his site often to keep track of what the bad guys are doing. He's also the author of Identity Theft Alert, one of his few books. He's a professor. He's got all kinds of background. Hey, Steve, welcome back.
It's good to be with you.
Hey, you know what? We are now, besides our U2 America TV audience, we are broadcasting on Biz Talk Radio. 175 countries or so. Can you just tell us a little bit about, for our new audience, how long you've been doing this and why it matters? I mean, it must have been something close to your heart to commit your life to it.
Yeah, I was a victim of identity theft probably about 12 years ago, and found out what a mess it was to try and reconcile everything and get things back if you are. I also, interestingly enough, I'm a professor at Bentley University in Waltham, Massachusetts. But prior to that, I was a teacher in the Massachusetts prison system, where I met some interesting con men. So
Stories there, right? We need to do a full hour with you on that.
You would love some of the stories about my days in prison, that's for sure. So I've really made this, you know, my life work. It's very dangerous out there. Everybody needs some help. Identity theft is a real damage to you financially. It can disrupt your life in many ways. It can actually, in the case of medical identity theft, it can even be potentially deadly. And scams have been taking advantage of people and stealing money from way back when. As a matter of fact, you know, you've heard of the Ponzi scam. Well, it was discrimination against women. There was a woman named Sarah Howe, who in Boston, 70 years before Charles Ponzi, was pulling the same scam on people. And women just don't get enough credit, and certainly not then.
So it should be a house scam, not a Ponzi
That's
scam.
That's right, exactly.
I saw another big news story about another Ponzi scam come down today. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, this is pretty germane to so many people. We had so many people affected by the shutdown, and the last thing you want to hear about is them being scammed. But in fact, it people were trying to do so.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories about that, and one of which is the happy ending, and that is with the shutdown over, at least we hope it's over permanently,
yeah.
But the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has a terrific website that we link to on Scamicide.com if you are a victim of identity theft. And it's very interactive, and it takes you through all of the things you need to do to get your life back in order. And during the shutdown, it was not available, but it is now. One of the big scams were they are scam artists. They're the only criminals we call artists. But we're taking advantage of, you know, all of these federal workers were looking for some temporary work. And one of the most common, and this is one that a lot of people fall for, is called mystery shoppers. And this is where you answer an ad or an email or a text message that tells you you will get paid to shop and report on the experience. And it sounds good. As a matter of fact, there are legitimate mystery shopper companies, but they never, ever advertise or go looking for you.
Oh, wait, so they never, if you get contact, because it does sound like a dream job, as you say. But exactly. They will not contact you in that manner?
No. If you're contacted by them, it isn't them. So if you are contacted, what happens, you get sent a certified bank check, and it looks good. But, you know, these days, as the old con men told me at Walpole Prison, back when they did counterfeiting, it took skill. Now any kid with a computer can do it.
Oh, boy.
So they send you the check. They tell you to deposit it in your bank account, do some shopping, and then you mail back to them the difference, and you keep a small amount for your, or not so small amount, as your pay. But here's the kicker. After about 5 days, you will get what's called provisional credit. That's temporary credit into your bank account. So it looks like the check is cleared, but it hasn't. And it takes about 2 weeks. During that time, the check ultimately bounces. So you have wired money from your bank account to the scammers. It's gone forever. And meanwhile, you're on the hook.
What about the new Medicare card scam?
You know, this is something. Medicare was one of the last, if not the last, large organization to stop using Social Security numbers as identification numbers. You know, at one time, your Social Security number was your driver's license number. Now it's illegal to do that. Insurance companies, the military, and others have changed. Medicare just finally completed sending out cards to everyone. I think there are about 65 million people on Medicare, and they were getting new cards with a new non-Social Security number identifier. The problem here is people are getting contacted about that, and we need to confirm your card in order to activate your new Medicare card. So give us your old card number. Again, your old card number is your Social Security number. You give it to them. They're off to the races as far as identity theft. So once again, it's kind of an easy fix. And Medicare is not going to be calling you asking for your Medicare number. Social Security is not going to be calling you asking for your Social Security number. You're going to get your cost of living adjustment, your COLA for Social Security automatically. You don't have to confirm anything in regard to your Medicare or new Medicare card number. So it'll just come to you in the mail. You should have it by now, and don't give it to anyone who is not a medical care provider.
Talking to Steve Weisman of Scamicide.com. Also, some good news. The FTC has obtained a multi-million dollar judgment against one debt relief scammer.
Yeah, this is it's a very interesting thing, because what the FTC does sometimes is when they go after large-scale scammers, in this case, debt relief. They promise to get your debts forgiven. They're going to reduce interest rates, all of these good things. They just need some upfront fees. This is also one of the ways you find out it's a scam. The federal laws prohibit anyone who is offering any kind of debt relief from having you pay an upfront fee. You can go to scamicide.com, look up debt relief, and you can find where you can go for some legitimate help. But bottom line here is that the FTC did succeed in getting millions of dollars back from this particular debt relief scammer, and there are some others. Now, we have a section on scamicide.com, and it's FTC refunds. So you can go there, click on that link, and it will bring up, if you were a victim of this particular scam, it'll show you where to go to get your money. And there are a lot of other scams too that you may be eligible for a refund.
Hey, find some free money at scamicide.com. Thank you to Stephen J.J. Weisman. We appreciate you, and we will check out your site weekly, okay? Adorbs. Welcome back to America Trends. Glad you've been with us for the hour. Thanks to Horace Crenshaw Jr., new author, Scamicide Stephen Wiseman, and Barry Nussbaum of the American Truth Project. Ask you to join us at our website, u2america.com, 24/7. And finally tonight, we had a fun clip about Conan O'Brien yesterday, furloughing some of his staff and trying to decide who was non-essential. Somehow Jordan Schlansky, whom he loves to hate, his name came up. Here's the rest of the bit as we say goodbye for now.
Can you describe your duties on the show, please?
I overlook the whole IT infrastructure.
That's a big show. Overlook IT infrastructure.
Yeah. I make sure that you get your email.
Who would you describe in this staff as non-essential? Don't be afraid to give a name. Think about it.
Non-essential?
Non-essential. Who could go if they had to go? Just be really honest. There's a name that popped into your head.
He's my friend.
Who is it?
I'd say Jordan Schlansky.
Oh, my God. No one is prompted in any way. This is the name. This is unbelievable. So Jordan Schlansky is the name that
he's
you would
he's
give.
He's my buddy.
Yes, clearly. Clearly. Good friend. Man, I hope you and I are never good friends.
Where's Kramer?
He just went downstairs.
He went downstairs?
Yeah.
I'm looking for non-essential personnel. My guess is when someone's not at their desk, they're probably non-essential. Would you agree?
I guess so, yeah.
You just sold out the guy you sit next to in a cubicle. You're next.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Yes.
Please stand.
You and I have talked many times over the years, but this is serious, okay? I'm talking to everyone on staff. One name has come up repeatedly, I believe 9 times. It's you, Jordan. People don't know what you do. They don't understand your job. You fill your Brita filter with water. Is this, in fact, the water that's often being filled in the hallway?
The choice to remain hydrated doesn't imply that I have no work to do.
How much of this water do you drink a day?
78 ounces.
What are you, a weeping willow? Are you a tree? That's a ton of water. How much of this day are you urinating then? How many times do you go to the bathroom during the day?
Ideally, once an hour.
You urinate once an hour?
Well,
why ideally once an hour?
Well, I have to make sure my urine is almost clear.
You drink 78 ounces of water a day.
I drink more than 78 ounces of water a day. I drink 78 ounces of water while I'm here.
How much water do you drink in a day?
Double that.
Double 78?
Correct.
You drink 160 some odd ounces of water a day.
156.
Every time I ask you what you do, and we've had numerous remotes where I've talked to you numerous times, you use the word numerous, various, assorted, but you never give one specific thing. What do you do? If you're not going to tell me, who are you going to tell?
The people that need to know already know.
What do you mean? That's me! Jordan, are you essential, yes or no?
Yes.
Were you to disappear now, and man, is it tempting! Would the show be affected?
With the exception of yourself, I could argue that any particular staff member can be eliminated with no visible result on air.
You have the body language of Lee Harvey Oswald.